Cleaning Nation, it is the time, it is the place to have some fun, to soak up some wisdom, and get ready to learn everything you need to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, if your life is just a little bit better as a member of Cleaning Nation, show your love, throw us a good review on iTunes, share us on Twitter, Facebook, subscribe on iTunes and YouTube. Feel free to tattoo it on your forehead, show the world that you are a proud member of Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Ashley Matos from Busy Bee Cleaning Services, or Busy Bee Cleaning Service. Busy Bee Cleaning has been serving the New York City area with commercial cleaning services for more than a decade. If you want to reach out to Ashley and her team, you can hold them at www.bbcleaningservice.com. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so glad to have you. Tell us a little bit about how you found your way into the cleaning business.
Well, I'm originally from Florida and I moved to New York. We started out cleaning apartments, very small, and then eventually we grew into doing commercial spaces, and now that is our profession.
Okay, fantastic. So you don't do any residential or move in, move out. It's all commercial as of now.
Yes.
Okay, cool. And then, so let's see, you've been in the business 10 years, but how many employees do you have nowadays?
About 400 employees.
Fantastic. That's amazing growth for 10 years. What's your, give Cleaning Nation a little bit of heads up on what your secret is.
Well, we take on as many clients as we can get, so we're always hiring.
Okay, cool. That makes sense. And how do you, I mean, gosh, that's a ton of clients. How do you find them? Do they come to you online, offline? What's kind of what's been working for you?
People search us on Google. We come up, they give us a call, and we take in the quotes, and then we have our account managers go out and reach out to these prospecting clients, and we try to close a contract with them.
Sounds pretty straightforward. Do you have kind of lots of smaller clients, fewer larger clients, or just all over the board?
We have a little bit of everything. We have a lot of once-a-week clients, and then we also have big one-time jobs that requires for us to get temporary 300 employees to service a client.
Okay, cool. Well, man, so far your story is fascinating. Tell me how I can help you today.
Well, we're looking because we are constantly hiring new employees to keep taking new clients. We're looking to see if we can find the software that can help us better train our employees in a more, I want to say, automatic way, rather than us sitting down and having to train them and taking time from our office staff.
Okay. So a couple things. First of all, I know that they exist in terms of softwares out there that you can pay, and they've got videos, and you can kind of plop your employee in front of a video recorder and have them learn. I don't coach any of my listeners or clients to do that. Really what I found is the cleaning piece of the job is kind of the easiest. Most of the time when we have problems with employees not doing a good job or not being good fits, it has more to do with attitudes, or they don't show up, or they're complaining to a customer or fighting with each other, or it's really attitude problems. Very rarely is it they don't have the technical ability, especially if we're talking about janitorial services and not like stripping and waxing or carpet cleaning or any of the more technical stuff. If we're just talking about janitorial services, 9 times out of 8, if we've got a problem with an employee, it's an attitude, or even if they're forgetting stuff, it's not that they didn't know how to take out the trash. It's just that they don't have an attitude of kind of detail-oriented philosophy. Is that something you found true in your business?
Yes and no. We're mean more like on the side of training employees on how to use chemicals. Anyone can clean, but you know, putting in a certain amount of cleaning solution into water can go a long way. If you don't know how to do it the right way, you can damage floors, you can get upset clients. So it's something more in that nature.
Okay, so there's certainly the technical end. And my point is not that there it's all kind of community member and zero physical cleaning skills, but most people do 90 to 100% on, just like you said, mixing chemicals and what kind of rag to use and what kind of chemical and how much chemical and how do we use it, when do we use it, and how do we use it. They spend 90 to 100% of their time on that and zero time on, here's what we believe. Here's what it looks like to be an effective community member. Here's what it's like to take care of one another, show up on time and have a good attitude and live out the core values that attracted you hopefully to this company and that we've promised our employees to get. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So because of that, it's really hard for me to say, yeah, let's plop them down in front of a video that's super generic and just super talks about use this kind of chemical or that kind of chemical, or here's how to dilute, or here's how to do any of this stuff, or here's where the OSHA MSDS sheets, or you know, all that technical stuff. A, that changes state to state. B, the chemicals that you use are maybe different than what the, you know, kind of quote unquote, this training that's on tape would use. And you might change chemicals. So because you are a unique company in terms of what you want your companies to believe, how you want them to treat each other, how you want them to treat the customers, and the chemicals that you may use change. I'm a huge fan of kind of creating these systems in-house. So I'm not saying that certainly you as the owner or even the managers need to be out holding hands 24/7 for till the end of time. I'm okay with automating, but I'm a big fan of you guys creating the systems inside of your business to bring the value as opposed to trying to kind of contract that piece of it out. Are you with me so far? Do you have any questions or thoughts?
I'm with you.
Okay, cool. So what I encourage is, I'm a huge fan of video. A lot of people, when we talk about systems or processes, of whether it be in employee training or hiring or sales or marketing or any aspect of the company, they picture this massive training manual, like operations manual, that's just 400 pages big and it's full of text. The problem with those are they're bare to create. They're constantly changing. And if we're honest with ourselves, our employees are never going to read them. Is that fair? If you handed your, you know, regular $12 an hour entry-level cleaner a 300-page manual, is there any chance that they're going to read that?
Not at all.
None. So I'm not a big fan of those. So I do like the video and I do like the system. So I think you're close when you're saying, hey, how can I find a systematized way to teach my people, even maybe with video? The only thing I'm going to part ways with you on is how can I find someone else to create that video for us? Certainly with 400 employees, there should be time and budget that you guys are able to do that yourself. And the important reason is you can change it and update it as it goes, right? You can kind of make it specific to you. So the people in the training video are going to be wearing your uniforms. They're going to be your people, the managers that they know and trust, maybe even you as an owner. So I'm a big fan of video. I'm a big fan of checklists and kind of having industrial institutionalized information, right? So instead of it just being, you know, maybe you and a couple key managers, quote unquote, know how to train somebody or in your heads know how to do stuff, that's a problem, right? Because if you die or get hit by a bus or want to do something different or want to take a vacation, you know, we want to make sure that brain power is A, is in as many people in your company as possible, and B, is codified as possible, either in video or Word or checklists or charts, or, you know, we want it kind of as accessible as possible. Does that make sense? Okay, cool. So the first and foremost thing I would do is, right now, I'm assuming you have physical account managers or trainers on site training people, correct?
Correct.
Step one is just video them doing that, right? Just video them doing it right off the bat. You've already got a video. Step two is to kind of continue changing that and making it better. So you might, how many trainers do you have right now?
We have about 10 account managers and about 20 quality assurance supervisors who usually go in for the start of services, and then if there's any problems with the client, they'll go ahead and check on what's going on and retrain anybody.
Are all 30 of those people qualified to train new cleaners?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So what you might want to do is, for the next month, if you've got 400 people, you're probably onboarding, multiple teams every month or every week, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what you want to do, if you've already got 20 or 30 people that are already doing training, just have them video what they're already doing, right? So instead of just having one guy or gal do it, you're going to have seven or, you know, I don't know how many in the month, but multiple people training people, training new folks how to clean, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So once you do that, and you've got maybe, you know, five or six or seven training things kind of on video, you can watch them together and have the folks that made the video watch them with you and help you edit it down. You can pick, like, that didn't work. We really don't want that communicated. This part is, you can kind of pick the best of the best. And if anything's missed, if you say, like, hey, we're not talking enough about our core values, or we're not talking enough about what it's like to be a good community member, you can kind of take all that raw data and create, I don't want to say a script, but certainly some talking points or a checklist that your trainers are going to use. And then I would remake the video probably two or three times with each different trainer, and, you know, maybe pick the two or three that were the best on camera, have them each make two or three, and then break that down into maybe a 10-part series, right? What you don't want is one 50-minute, 60-minute, hour-long video that the guy or gal is going to get bored with. You want to have like 7 or 8 4-minute videos. Like when you first get there, maybe a little 3-minute welcome video that one of your trainers does that was really good on film. The second one is going to be, here's how to get your supplies. You know, I don't know if, I'm assuming some of your accounts have a janitor closet and sometimes you have to go from your office, but here's how to gather your supplies on site. Here's how to gather your supplies off site. That could be a video. Next one might be, we're just going to talk about trash. That's going to be a video. So you're going to kind of break everything down into maybe 8 to 12, 2 to 5 minute videos that are real quick and easy, that encompass everything, right? Some are going to be just on core values. Some are going to be just on mixing chemicals. Some are going to be just on vacuuming. And you want to have maybe 2 or 3 of each of those. And then you can kind of give a little schedule of videos for people to watch. So they might actually watch the video and then do a little actual work, watch another video, do some work. Any of this making sense? You have any questions so far?
Yeah, I was actually going to say, would you recommend maybe doing, you know, like the training period, kind of like an orientation probation period and add on questions? So after videos and see how people perform in order to actually go through with full a full hiring process.
That's a great question. For the last couple of my jobs and what I always did, because especially when you've got kind of got the employee flow that you've got, the last thing you want, if you've got 400 employees with the turnover, you might have 1200 W-2s you have to fill out at the end of the year, which is a beast. And a lot of those people, maybe half of them or more, kind of phase out in the first week or two, right? They don't show up for the first day, or they show up for 2 days and they quit. But once they pass that 2 week mark, generally they're going to stay for a while. Has that been your experience?
Yes, especially in this type of industry, that's exactly what we go through.
Yeah, exactly. So what I've always done is the first interview I do is a group interview. The second interview I do is a one-on-one interview. The third interview I do is actually cleaning, where they're going to do a shift and get paid as a 1099 contractor. And depending on, I like 2 weeks because I'm conservative, but I usually go a week or 2 weeks where I just pay them as a 1099 contractor. They are not hired. And at the end of that 2 weeks, if they think it's a good fit and we think it's a good fit, then we can hire them. That way, you know, when 20 to 50% blow out in that first 2 weeks, you don't have all those W-2s. They were never quote unquote employee, or, you know, they were never technically employees. They were just 1099 contractors. It really cuts down the headache.
Okay.
Cool. One other thing I wanted to give you is, and then we'll hit the lightning round because I feel like I've been dumping a ton of information on you. One other thing I want to give you is make sure that when you've got those videos, there should be corresponding checklists. And when I say checklists, we're not talking about like when I had the car dealers, I owned a car dealership. We had a service bay and we had like 104 point checklist. We'd run every car through. It was just this one piece of paper, both sides with tiny little font. I'm talking about big, easy checklists with like infographics and not that, you know, a lot of white space. So the checklists aren't really little and tiny. They're kind of big and easy to use, lots of white space. So I like the checklist with that. The one other thing I want to give you is there should be a progression. For what I coach my folks is within the first 90 days, they're going to be able to train somebody else. So first, you know, I was, my first company was a Service Master franchise, and they taught us first, they watch us clean and then we watch them clean and then they clean on their own with us checking. So that would be phase one, right? Within the first 2 weeks, I want them, before we hire them, I want them to be able to demonstrate that they can clean on their own. One of the supervisors can check and say, yes, this is okay. The second step would be, I want them to be able to train another cleaner. Maybe in the first 30 days, I want them to be able to clean another train another cleaner on how to clean, because the best way to learn something is to teach it. So when they learn how to do it by the videos and doing it themselves, they're going to get some value. But when they have to train somebody new, they're going to really engage with the company more, engage with that new person, and they're going to learn it better themselves. And then the third step, which I definitely want them to do within 90 days, is the ability to check on other people's work. So it doesn't have to be this huge gap between, oh, I'm a manager and all I do is check other people's work and train people and I don't do any cleaning. We want as many people as possible with the ability to check on other people's work and cleaning. So that's kind of the process I would go through, is the first 2 weeks before we, you know, officially hire them, they're learning to clean. The second 2 weeks, they're learning how to train other people. And then maybe the next month or two, they're learning how to check on other people. And then kind of after that, they're a full-fledged employee. Any thoughts?
Would you actually put a different title on these cleaners, like you starting at phase one and you're being trained, but then at phase three, now you're training other people. Would you give them a different job title within the company, or would they still be under the same category? Because we find ourselves, when we do that, another cleaner will take it as, okay, we're at the same pay rate. Why are you acting like a supervisor, or why are you training me? So how do we go about that?
Great question. And I'm a huge fan of titles. The best example I can see of this in business that has actually built an industry is in the martial arts industry. karate or taekwondo or any of the martial arts, they all have those belts, right? And what happens is that whole industry is built on kids. The parents want to bring their kids in, want to teach them, you know, respect and discipline, all this sort of stuff. And it's not a small investment. You can spend $200-$400 a month or more if you've got multiple kids on that this kind of martial arts training. And the tendency is the kids love it and they're excited for the first month or two, and then they lose interest and they leave. So what the martial arts industry did, which is genius, is starting doing these belts. And it would take you, depending on the practice that you do, anywhere from 2 to 5 years to get your black belt. And the black belt was a big deal. So now, because they gave them a different title, they gave them a different belt, and you can do the same thing with badges, right? You can give them a blue badge or a red badge or a ribbon on their badge or different colored shirts. But yeah, absolutely. You want to engage your people and give them a path to black belt, right? You want to give them an idea of how they can kind of get better and better and better. And absolutely, you do that with different colored polo shirts, or, you know, this level gets a t-shirt, that level gets a polo shirt, different colors, different badges, different ribbons on your badge. And, you know, you can take in the martial arts world, you can take a kid that might have quit after 2 months, he might stay for a year and a half just because they're chasing that black belt. So absolutely, you want to do the same thing with your folks. The only thing is you need to add other things for them to progress. Right. And you could even steal the black belt thing. You could say, hey, when you start, you're a white belt. And after you've been here, once you meet these standards, then you're yellow belt. Then you move to green and then red and then brown and then black. You can kind of, and you don't have to, but you can make it fun. Right. It doesn't always have to be supervisor level 3, you know, entry level cleaner level 1. That's boring. Give it fun. Make it like master cleaner, super fantastic, or, you know, really busy bee or slow bee or newbie, or, you know, have some fun with the titles. And the key is, it's not just the ability to train others and the ability to be able to check other people's work, because you don't want to necessarily pay more money just because they've got the ability to check other people's work. You want them to have that skill, but that in and of itself is not worth it. What I encourage you to do to kind of promote them or let them earn their next belt or their next level, which does come with more pay, is certainly the ability to train other people and check on other people's work. But it would also be stuff like you pick up at least one shift for someone that calls in the month. You've not missed any days of work this month or been late any days this month. You haven't had any complaints this month. You've had at least one positive person call in to say what a good job you've done. You're exemplifying the core values. Your times are correct, right? If this is supposed to take you 2.5 hours, it takes you 2.5 hours. So you want to have a very structured system of, well, the white belts were a little, you know, they can call out once a month because they're just white belts and we don't expect too much from them, but they get the entry level pay. Once you get to kind of the red belt or the brown belt, now you can't be missing work. You've got to be picking up shifts from other people. You're training, you're checking other people. And of course that comes with pay benefits, as well as kind of the honor of, we're going to give you a different name, a different title, a different polo shirt, a, you know, ribbon on your badge, these sorts of things.
What would you do in the case that someone gets to, let's say, this red belt position, but then they do start calling out or they do start getting the complaints?
Then
you know,
you lose
how
it.
Is it that you're going to take away from someone's pay after you gave it to them?
Yeah, that,
would you recommend doing that?
Yeah, well, first of all, you're not taking it away. They're taking it away. They understand this is the criteria you need to meet, mate. This is the criteria you need to keep to keep your brown belt status. And they're told right off the bat, if you're late or don't show up or show up without calling, whatever the case may be, more than this many times, you lose your status. So absolutely, part of the deal, part of their ability to continue at that pay level and at that title level is they have to, you know, if all of a sudden the customers start complaining, darn right, you knock them back down. They've got to earn that right every day, every dang day. Just like if you do a bad job, your customers are going to fire you. Okay. Any other quick questions? We're running out of time. I've been chatting way too much. Any other quick questions before we hit the lightning round and give you the opportunity to share some of your experience?
No, that was all.
All right, awesome. Well, let's hit it. I'm going to give you 3 quick questions. You're going to give us 3 amazing answers. Question number 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, Ashley?
To not quit, keeping the client happy. You know, we have clients in this industry that sometimes for us it wouldn't be worth it, but to keep our reputation at a high expectation and keep everyone happy, we just don't give up on a client, even as much as it won't be worth it to us.
Great, great feedback. Hard to argue with, don't quit. That's always good advice. All right, Ashley, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that maybe we can learn from?
I would have to think. I would say turning down jobs just because we feel like we're not experienced.
Okay. So,
for example, let's say we got a quote for a 500 employee job and we didn't have the 500 employees. I think us, not that it happened this exact way, but, you know, turning down a big job instead of just taking the chance really held us back because we maybe would have had opportunity to grow quicker than we are.
Man, you are a bold young woman. I like where your head's at. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation, something easy to implement that Cleaning Nation could put into practice right away that will improve their business or their lives?
Using newsletters to keep your employees informed about their clients that they're servicing, and as well keeping the clients informed about the employees. So there's an interaction even though they're not physically seeing each other, because here in New York, most of the clients we service them in the evening, so they don't know who's cleaning their space. So with a newsletter, they're able to see what's going on and know what's going on from both sides.
Beautiful. Are you talking about an electronic newsletter or actual physical paper?
For our employees, we give them a physical paper, and for our clients, we send them an email.
All right. Gosh, first of all, I'm a huge fan of physical paper newsletters. I would even encourage you to consider doing your client letter in a newsletter. I've done a couple podcasts on that, but that is great feedback. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your desire to grow, your passion, all your experience. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Ashley's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.